how her concern was that these young minds would not be able to comprehend truth from God's word, and how the Lord had already hearts prepared. And in this day and age, people are a lot more savvy on things than sometimes we think they are. I was thinking as I just walked up here how that isn't it amazing that the experts in our nation, and I say that with tongue in cheek, I remember how even when I was attending school, the efforts were being made to remove Bible reading and prayer and things like that. And in the years that followed, we have heard all kinds of things that, you know, this is dangerous. This sort of thing is not good for the young minds of our nation. And yet, isn't it amazing how God's word is so understandable when the Holy Spirit is working, and how man tries to keep the truth of God's word away from these young hearts, and what a privilege that we have, and how thankful for whether it's our Sunday school ministry, whether it's our Awana ministry during the school year, how thankful we ought to be that God has given us that privilege of being able to make His living word available to these young lives. And His word can change lives. And we ought to be thankful for the privilege that's ours. Let's look to Him in prayer, shall we? We do thank You, Father, for the chance to be here tonight. Thank You for each one who has come. And now, as we turn to Your word, I pray that You would help me to honor You in what I say and don't say. May we go away from here with our hearts blessed by the truth of Your word. We thank You in Your name. Amen. Well, two or three Sunday evenings ago, I did something different, something that was not our usual, and we talked about on that Sunday evening, rather than having a particular outline or anything, I just shared how that for many, many years I have really just appreciated the suggestion that someone had made to read the Psalm of the day, and then the proverb of the day, whatever the day of the month was, that was the proverb you read. And then, because there are 150 psalms, and there's 30 days in a month, do the math, you could get through the whole book of Psalms every month if you read five psalms a day, coinciding with whatever. And so today would be Proverbs 16, Psalm 16, Psalm 46, 76, 106, and 146, right? Or 36, 136. And somebody suggested afterward, boy, that was a real blessing as we went through those five psalms. I pointed out how that the Lord had just impressed upon me how that the psalms that I had read the day before, those five, there was a continuing theme that you could pick up in every one of those psalms that was a real blessing for that day. The suggestion was made, maybe you ought to do that again sometime. And just recently was reading and realized that, well, here we go again. And maybe the Lord could get the glory in just reminding the folks of some continuity in those psalms that you read, though they're 30 psalms apart, the continuity in them. I talk about this, reading the proverb and the psalms of the day, I've done that numerous times, and almost invariably I forget to tell you, what do you do on day 31? The months that have 31 days. And I realized after I did that two or three weeks ago, I forgot to tell them what I do. On the 29th of the month, you do the math and you're going to come up to Psalm 119. I pass over that one. And you save Psalm 119 with all of its 176 verses for the 31st day of the month. Because you've read 30, then you read Psalm 119, and tomorrow it's going to be back to number one again. You don't read 31 because that's what you read on the first. So, sorry about that. And if some of you have taken that challenge, you haven't figured it out yet, that's what you do on the 31st of the month. You read Psalm 119. Save it when you come on the 29th of the month and just say, I'll read you in 2 days. So, got it? Sorry about that. All that is to say today, I would like us to just take a look at Psalm 14. Joel, if you like titles for your discs back there, this is called Oh Really. Oh Really. And if you can put that tone of voice in there when you write that, that'd be good. Oh Really. Can you get that on there, Joel? Psalm 14:1 begins, if you haven't found it yet, the fool has said in his heart, what? There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good, and so on. And there are many things we could talk about that the fool who claims there is no God tries to present. If you talk with them and they try to engage in conversation and maintain, oh, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. Well, there are many things they will tell you. They don't believe in God, but they do believe in. If you don't believe in God, what do you believe in? Who do you believe in? And one of the biggies that someone who makes the claim that says, there's no God. If there is no God, then would you explain how you came into existence? How this world that we enjoy, somebody testified of enjoying just getting up north and seeing the things that God has created. Oh, it slipped, didn't it? I said, God created. But the fool says what? There is no God. This all just happened. Well, Mr. Fool, we can address him like that. Mr. Fool, would you please tell me, would you explain to me where everything came from? Two of their favorite things that they like to talk about, they like the Big Bang Theory. That one day there was just this, way back, who knows how, there was this Big Bang. And because of this Big Bang and the explosion and things going off in every direction. Well, that's where our universe came from. That's how it got started. The Big Bang. What about life? Well, they have an answer for that one too. And their other favorite topic is what? Starts with an E. Evolution. Nobody knows. Nobody was there. Nobody documented it because it's a lie and it's a theory. But they come up, they talk about that way back eons of time, they're somehow got together these elements that banged around, I guess. They banged around and bumped around and accidentally, of course, and all of a sudden there was the beginning of some form of life. Isn't it ridiculous when you stop to think about what intelligent, supposedly intelligent people propose, that just from elements and compounds you can bang around, rub shoulders, put them in the same beaker or petri dish, and guess what? Life forms. Man's never been able to do that, but where'd we all... Well, it just happened back then. And that was the simplest form of life, and through the millions and billions of years, that life that was formed, it began to change. And it began to squiggle around in that swamp or wherever it was. And one day, I guess it decided that it didn't like to just squiggle around, but maybe it poked its head above the water and it saw something over there and thought to itself, perhaps, I don't want to be in this slime. I want to be over there. So in about a million years, it squiggled around until now it could be out on the ground. You say, Pastor, don't be so ridiculous. I'm just quoting the experts. The experts wouldn't lie, would they? And how that this little slimy thing decided that it didn't want to crawl around, but it needed some way to move around rather than wiggle. I just need legs. And so maybe a half a million years later, boom, boom, here's a couple of legs that poked out. All right, this is cool. This is something. You get just as much humor out of it as I do. But you know what? This was precipitated. You say, where'd this come from tonight, Pastor? I think it was on the 14th. Jerry gets all kinds of emails sent to her, and she got and was, I think it was at breakfast time that day, she was reading to me some source that had come to her. Remember where you were talking about the belief in evolution versus creation, and how many people believe in evolution? Even Christians believe in, so-called Christians believing in, and that just stuck with me. And I came to work that day, and as I sat down for my reading, I thought, Preach it, brother. The fool has said in his heart, there is what? No God. Why? You want to listen to fools spout off? Just listen to these. Sadly, though, is the biblical account of creation being taught to our children in the public schools and in the universities? Oh no, you cannot teach them that. What is taught as fact to our children? What? Evolution. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So that thought was on my mind, and as I began to read on, the 44th Psalm didn't have anything, but when I got to the 74th, take your Bibles and turn there with me. Psalm 74. I noticed in verses 16 and 7, because what Jerry had been talking with me about at home was on my mind and in my thoughts about how many, and I know it's true, many professing Christians, they believe in, they call it theistic evolution. God started everything. There's your belief in theos, in the God. God started it all, but God has filled the earth over eons of time through the evolutionary process. Theistic evolution. No, we're not denying that there's a God, but we're not denying that God hasn't used evolution over the periods of time. One of the problems with that is, has anybody ever come up with an undeniable fossil of something in transition, half monkey, half man, half this, half that, as the evolutionists tell us, well, so-and-so evolved from this, and now we have this. Has science ever been able to come up with a feasible, genuine fossil? Say, look, here it is. Here's the skeleton of man. But you can tell from these things, look, there was one time that man was flying. Look back here in his back section. At one time, man had wings. Nope. They can't find any, but yet they still keep teaching it as fact. Evolution is evolution. Don't be fooled into thinking that, well, I'll give God credit for creating everything, but don't demean our Heavenly Father by saying that our God has blessed or uses the evolutionary process to just continue on what He started. Don't buy into theistic evolution. So here in Psalm 74, we see in verse 16, the day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou, you, have prepared the light and the sun. What's that speaking of? What's that have reference to? Pardon? Creation. In the beginning, God said, let there be, and there was. And we find in Genesis 1:14 through 18, the Genesis account of light and sunlight, the greater light for the daytime and the lesser light for the nighttime. Did that all just big bang around and just happens to be out there with pinpoint accuracy? I mean, you can count on when the sun is going to rise, when the moon is going to be full, when there's going to be that solar eclipse. Somebody was telling me there's a solar eclipse showing up here. Maybe later on this week in certain parts of our nation. How do they know that? Because everything is in order. Not because of an accident, but because our God has designed it that way. And you can use your instruments and you can do the computation and you can realize, whoa, there's going to be an eclipse at certain time, certain day, certain minute. But the fool has said in his heart, well, there's no God. But our Bible tells us, where did this come from? The day is yours, the night is yours. You created light and darkness, and you prepared the light and the sun. These things didn't just accidentally happen. God gave them, God created them. Verse 17, thou, you, hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made, you've made it, Lord, what? Summer and winter. Here we are. Aren't you enjoying summer? Praise the Lord. This is great. Guess what? Winter's not coming. It's going to just stay summer all the time. No, it's not. No, it's not. God has said that He has established these seasons, hasn't He? God put all this in order. God has this earth orbiting at a certain speed, at a certain tilt. And it takes 1 year for it to orbit around the earth, 364 point something days. That's why every fourth year they add what? 1 day for leap year to keep it right back on track again. This didn't just happen. And because the earth spins at that certain tilt, and because of its orbital position that you can document, you know where it's going to be at. I hate to break your bubble, folks, but winter's coming. I wish you could just know that summer isn't going to end, but do you realize that summer is almost a month shot already? On the 21st of June, summer started, and in just about 5 days, it's already 1 month gone. For almost 1 month, the days have been getting shorter already. And as they get shorter, what's coming around the corner? Huh? Fall and winter. Karen was freezing this morning. When she walked, all the windows were shut when Karen left the church and we had the front door propped open. All the rest of us were saying, oh, this feels so good with that sucker fan on. Guess what, Karen? I'm freezing. I'm freezing. Well, cheer up, Karen. Winter's coming, and you will have a cause to freeze. But you know why? How do I know? How do I know that about the 21st or 22nd of September, fall is going to begin? How do I know around the 21st or 22nd of December, winter is going to begin? And March 21st or 22nd, right around in there, spring is, because God has established what? He has established the order. He has put these things in motion, and He said they will always, always occur. Always occur. So the realm of nature and creation, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, but the Bible tells us there's a God. He made the light and the darkness. He's made the summer and the winter. He has established the borders of the earth. And these things are as we know them, not because of a big bang or because of an evolutionary process, but because our God did them. Isn't that good? Well, we move from Psalm 74 to Psalm, you do the math, then it becomes Psalm 104. And we will spend the rest of our time this evening in Psalm 104. When I got to that one and I knew what was there, I knew this one was going to, you talk about hitting pay dirt. Psalm 104, you strike it rich here. What a passage of scripture to counteract the fool who says there is no God, and the fool who said all of these things that we are familiar with, they've just happened. There is no intelligent creator who put all these things in place. This is happenstance. It's all just continually evolving. There's no plan. There's no goal. We just lucky we happen to be here at this point in the evolutionary process. Well, you know what, sir? You are a fool if you think that. Because my Bible tells me in Psalm 104, bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. You are very great, and you are clothed with honor and majesty. Notice, and we're going to quickly point out as we go through this, you would do yourself well just to put the whole 104th Psalm. But I'm going to highlight some of these. As we point out creation and God's hand in certain things, where the fool says there's no God, it's Big Bang, it's all by evolution. We go to verse 2. Who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain? Who put the heavens? Who made that expanse? And how big is space? No one knows. How far does it go? No one has ever been able to measure it. You know why? Because God stretched it out just like a curtain. Verse 3, He lays the beams of His chambers in the waters. God makes the clouds His chariot. Who walks on the wings of the wind? Verse 5, He laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. You know what? You don't have to worry about this earth going haywire and something happening to it. God laid the foundations of the earth. He put it exactly where it's at, and He put it that it should not be removed forever. It's in God's hands. God's keeping all this in place. Isn't that great? But the fool says there's no God. And they've got PhDs and everything. But they're teaching our children. That's what concerns us. The earth, verse 6, you covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. Here it talks about the flood. There was a time when you covered those mountains. They were above the mountains. But at your rebuke, verse 7, they fled. At the voice of your thunder, those waters hasted away. Verse 8, he's talking about water. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys, unto the place which you have founded for them. These lakes, these streams, these rivers, these oceans, that didn't just happen. God put those things there. That's what Scripture teaches us. Verse 9, still talking about water. I wonder if there's ever going to be a flood. I mean, it seems interesting to me. In the last 5 years, have you noticed on the news, it seems to me that there are more places in our nation that are being flooded. Southern states, western states, even northeastern states. I don't ever remember floods in those places. I wonder if it's going to cover the whole earth. Verse 9, you've set a bound that they may not pass over, that they may not turn again to cover the earth. You see, God promised Noah, I will never destroy the earth again by floodwaters. He didn't say there wouldn't be local flooding, but there will never be a universal worldwide flood again. God said that. He talks about how that in verse 10, he sends springs into the hills, the valleys, they run among the hills. Then it talks about how that these springs, that's just natural. That just happened, you know, with a big bang. Where did this water come from? Well, God puts that water there. And what's he do with it? It talks about how that they run among the hills and they give the animals water to drink. We find that it allows the vegetation, verse 11, 12, 13, waters the hills from the chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow, verse 14, for the cattle, the herb, for the service of man, that he can have food. He causes the fruit to grow and to not only make him look good, but make him feel good and to fill his belly. Bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Where'd that all come? Well, when that big bang happened, it just so happened that all the elements just stayed right here around our planet. Just right to maintain life. Really? Well, that's what they tell us. I always smile to myself when I hear these broadcasts on TV. They talk about how that, you know, here's some spaceship that has been heading in the direction of maybe a certain planet or something for years and years, and it's the closest it's ever been, and it's sending all kind of data, and we think there's some good indicators that there, this one, maybe there's everything just right to sustain life. Wouldn't that be something if we discovered that we're not the only living? The fool hath said in his heart, what, Psalm 14:1, there is no God. This just all happened accidentally. The Bible tells us where this all came from, and God created it, and when God did it, and how He did it, and where He put us, and where there's life. It's right here. And He sent His Son to redeem sinful mankind. And it talks about how all of these things happen. The trees, they're full of sap, verse 16. Birds make their nests, and the high hills, verse 18, while the wild goats have discovered, man, this is a good place to make a home, and the rocks for the conies. And in verse 19, He's appointed the moon for seasons, and the sun knoweth is going down. Here we're talking about now that orbital precision. God did that. It didn't just happen. And it talks about here, you make darkness, verse 20, and it's night. And notice this, when it gets dark, who wakes up? Did you notice this? Verse 20. When it gets dark, who wakes up? All the creatures. You make darkness, it's night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey. And isn't this interesting? The psalmist says, even the lions are smart enough to know where they get their food from. But the fool has said in his heart, what? There is no God. What do you mean the lions are smart enough? Look what it says in verse 21. The young lions roar after their prey, and they seek their meat from whom? God. Go figure, fool. The lion. The lion's got more sense than you do, professor. He knows that God supplies it for him. So, verse 22, the sun arises, gets daylight, and they gather themselves together, and they lay down in their den. It's time we better go back in our dens, because, verse 23, when it gets daylight, man gets up. Now, this is the way it was supposed to be. This was before man got so smart that he devised these 3 8-hour shifts and came up with this. If I can get this much done in 8 hours, we could get this much done if we had 2 8-hour shifts. Look at how much we could if we just worked around the clock. Whoopee! Yeah, let's have 24-hour. We'll just never close. We'll just have 3 8-hour shifts. Well, the way God designed it was men work in the daytime and the animals sleep, and come nighttime, man goes to bed and the animals get out and do their thing. That was the way our designer made it. But anyway, oh Lord, verse 24, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you've made them all. The earth is full of your riches. Our time is gone. But the psalmist goes on, just one example after another of God's creative works. Now we saw similarities. Well, we linked 1474 and 104. Because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. These things have just happened. There is no intelligent creator. There is no designer. There is no God. And we've said it before. The fool can deny the existence of God. But you know, he has to convince himself of it, because the heavens declare the glory of what? God. And the firmament shows its handiwork. You see, the fool might say, I don't believe there's a God, but he knows when he says that. there really is one. There's evidence everywhere, but I just don't want to believe in him, because when he admits there's a God, when he admits there is an intelligent being who gave us all of this, then he must also admit, I am accountable to him, I am responsible to him, and one day I'm going to have to stand before him, and I don't want that, so I'll just say I don't believe in him. Aren't we glad we have God's word? Well, I hope this was a blessing to you. Once again, no outline this evening, no college professor standing up here and wowing you with all kinds of truths, just the simple truth of God's word. But aren't you glad for what we have? Thank God for it. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Lord, we titled this evening, Oh Really? We think about mankind and how, with all of his learning and all of his technology and all of his instruments and his tools, he makes statements, he comes to conclusions that there is no God, or God is dead. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Thank you for just these simple assurances that you gave us in these psalms that we looked at tonight. May this minister to our hearts. We thank you for who you are, what you mean to us. Thank you, we can call you our own. In your name we pray, amen. And you are dismissed.